Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
America, welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. This is Mark Levine reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And though I don't say it every show, it should be noted that while I am very thankful to be here, courtesy of the Center for American Progress, we have a really nice arrangement that lets me be here. They are definitely not responsible for anything I say. They are not endorsing or necessarily disagreeing with anything I say. They have no idea what I'm going to say. I run it by no one before I say it. Heck, sometimes I don't know what I'm going to say. Today, I'm going to talk about the Trump campaign shakeup. And, well, when I was about 15 years old, my mom used to watch soap operas. She used to watch General Hospital, actually. And I'm kind of a mama's boy, and I wanted to see what she liked so much. So I started watching General Hospital with her. Showing my age a little bit, but that was the time of the marriage of Luke and Laura. And I'd be curious if any of my listeners actually remember back to that. It was really a very weird thing. Luke had raped Laura, and yet she still wanted to marry him, the kind of storyline in the 80s that would never be appropriate today. But I watched it, and it seemed extreme, and it seemed weird. And, of course, it was so extreme and so weird that I got hooked. I kept watching it. It wasn't sort of the ordinary, man cheats on woman cheats on man, woman has other man's baby, the kind of standard soap opera fare. And then, I don't know, it started to get old. The show started to get a little boring. And then I remember it got weirder. At one point, Elizabeth Taylor came on the air, and if my memory serves correct, she was some evil person trying to freeze the whole world to take it over. I don't remember. It really jumped the shark. For those of you who know what that is, that's when the Fonz in Happy Days actually tried to jump a shark, or did jump a shark, on his water skis. And that's kind of an example of a show that's gone too far, so far off the deep end that, people know it's not real anymore. Why am I telling you this convoluted story? Because I think today, August 17th, 2016, the Trump campaign has officially jumped that shark. They have gone off the nature of a presidential campaign and entered the realm of reality show. And when you think about it, this has got to be the most unsurprising development ever. What would be surprising would be if Donald Trump changed who he was. And they tried to do that. God knows the Republican establishment tried to put him in his box, but he felt boxed in. Poor Donald Trump, having to read from teleprompters, which he says he hates, having to say conventional things about conventional issues, having to retreat from making up new and fascinating lies. It must have been really troubling for him. And if you think of Donald Trump as a presidential candidate, you can't understand why he fired Paul Manafort as campaign manager, or, you know, relegated him to a secondary position, and hired on his campaign people who are, well, not really respected by anyone in Washington, D.C. Basically, he hired the equivalent of Pravda, for the those old Soviet experts out there. He hired his own sort of propaganda channel. The people who, frankly, endorsed Donald Trump no matter what he said, no matter how crazy he got, these were the people who were with him, who actually, when the guy that he hired, Steve Bannon of Breitbart News, when a reporter at Breitbart News was manhandled by then Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski, he didn't defend his own reporter. He defended Donald Trump. This is a guy known for hating Paul Ryan, hating Mitch McConnell, hating the Republican Party, basically considering the Republican Party too far to the left. And he and Kellyanne Conway are now running the Donald Trump campaign. Now, I don't believe either of these people have ever run any political campaign in their life. And Donald Trump doesn't want to run a political campaign. And if it sounds strange for you that a candidate for president of the United States does not want to run in a political campaign, you haven't been watching the reality show over the past year. It's much easier to understand Donald Trump if you look at a soap opera or a reality show. You got to keep the entertainment value up. It doesn't matter whether it's realistic. It doesn't matter whether it means anything. It doesn't matter whether you're going to win or not in some conventional way. And if you win and Donald Trump has to be presidential and has to deal with policies and has to make the numbers add up, boy, Donald Trump will be bored about that. He'd probably just leave the White House and let Vice President Pence do all that kind of work. No, Donald Trump is just bored by the idea of policy, by the idea of running a country. That doesn't sound exciting. Where are the women in that? Where is he going to go and get a good vacation? And how do you rob little people when you're president? It's just he can't do what he's used to doing. He wants to be the star of the show. And when you think about it, it's a masterful gesture. Yes, of course he's going to lose the election. In fact, I think he'll lose even more now than he was going to before. But he loses on his own terms. This is a guy who doesn't go out as the package Donald, trying really hard like a caged dog not to bite anyone. This guy goes out as the Donald he's always been. He's going to bite everyone. He's going to bite Latinos and Muslims and women. He's going to hate on the Republican establishment. He's going to make up crazy lies. I can't wait to see the next one. It's not enough to accuse Ted Cruz's father of having killed Kennedy. I think he should go and accuse Hillary Clinton of killing Lincoln. That would be good, right? After she founded ISIS, she went in with John Wilkes Booth and killed Lincoln. Crooked, murderous Hillary. You know, how far can he go? The Trump campaign was starting to be boring. It was starting to be conventional. And it wasn't working for the Donald. And what's interesting is that Donald thinks it wasn't working. Not for the reasons I think it wasn't working, which is that he was still a little too Donald Trump. He couldn't help but drop crazy ideas like Obama founded ISIS. No, I think the Donald thinks that it's not working because he's not being Donald enough. Remember in the primaries, Corey Lewandowski, his campaign manager, said the theme of the campaign is let Trump be Trump. Well, Trump is now going out as Trump. He wants to lose in Trump style. He wants to get on that Titanic and be Donald Trump all the way down. And then, you know, he's going to take a nice long vacation. That's actually what he said. There are not many political candidates that admit that they're going to lose. But Donald Trump has already kind of admitted it. And the real suckers for this play, the fascinating part about this story, it's not Donald Trump. Frankly, we've known he was a clown and someone seeking attention, well, ever since he was two and he kicked that other kid out of the sandbox. Now, what's interesting is the Republican Party. Wow, how hard must it be to be Reince Priebus, the chairman of the RNC, or John McCain, God love him, or Paul Ryan, for that matter? How do you defend Republican Party when you've got a lunatic running the joint? I think what you're going to find is Republican Party has to distance itself from Donald Trump. For a Democrat, we win either way. If they distance themselves, as I think they're going to, they look ridiculous because their supporters are obviously living somewhere to the left side of the moon, believing that Hillary Clinton killed Lincoln. But if they distance themselves, they also lose the support of their crazed supporters. Remember, a good chunk, a good plurality, 40%+ of Republicans actually believe this racist conspiratorial nonsense. They've been taught that Obama is from Kenya. They've been taught that he's a radical Muslim. They've been taught that Hillary Clinton is a killer. And they believe this nonsense. And now they're not going to like Republicans running away from Trump. But if they support Donald Trump, wow, now they're in real trouble. Because all of Democrats and 80-90% of independents and the half of Republicans who know Donald Trump is not a sane, serious candidate, now they desert them and they lose in a landslide. So I actually think it's going to be a landslide. I certainly hope Hillary Clinton wins by 10 points. That'd be higher than she is now. She's at 6 or 7 points. And that's necessary in order to get Congress, in order to get the Senate, in order to get the House, which is why I think at the end of the day, Republicans are going to desert him. And you don't have to be crazy to think this. I mean, you don't have to be a crazy candidate for the Republican Party to desert you. In 1996, Republican nominee Robert Dole was seen as certainly going to lose to a different Clinton, Bill Clinton, and Republicans deserted him in droves and just focused on their House and Senate campaigns. And Robert Dole, for all I disagree with him, was sane, was normal, was a politician. Nothing like the craziness that is Donald Trump. So for the Republican Party, I just don't know what they do. Now for the Donald, oh, he's going to come away from this really nicely. No, he's not going to be president of the United States. But that reality show he's been planning, you know, the one on Fox or some other channel where he goes in and says these wild and crazy things, and, you know, conspiracy theorists like Alex Jones on the radio will have nothing for the new and improved Donald Trump. Will Hillary Clinton really be an illegal immigrant born in, I don't know, where do we say, China? She's a secret Chinese illegal alien who's going to freeze the world. I don't know. I've seen crazier things in soap operas. He's going to have a great show out of this. He's going to get a lot of listeners. He's going to probably have a TV show, and he'll make a lot of money doing it. Donald Trump will laugh all the way to the bank. The Republican Party, not so much. I do want to get your comments. Always give me a call. Tell me what you think. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Donald Trump is doing it his way. He's tired of being boxed in. He said on Wisconsin radio that they keep telling him he has to pivot. Pivot being that technical political jargon, meaning that he has to move from his racist right-wing pit bull rhetoric of the Republican primary, which apparently Republicans really like, and moving on to the softer, gentler tones, the kinder nation, the thousand points of light, as George Bush Sr. might have said, to compassionate conservatism, as George Bush Jr. might have said, reaching out to the middle of America. Well, Donald doesn't want to do that. And you don't tell the Donald what to do. And if you don't like what he does, he's going to kick you out of his sandbox and call you names. That's the way most six-year-olds react when you tell them what to do, at least those that are not really good kids. So he doesn't like being told what to do. He doesn't like having to read from teleprompter speeches that other people have written. And I get that. You know what? I don't like reading from teleprompter speeches that other people have written. In fact, I never have. You see me. I have. Look, there's nothing on there, Facebook people. I'm not reading from a script. I don't do scripts. But I actually trust that I'm going to say things that are, well, relatively true and relatively sane. Well, Donald Trump doesn't want to be scripted and doesn't want to be conventional, and he's made it this far by not being conventional. He's made it this far as a clown, as someone who has said, no press is bad press. You know, call me a liar, a buffoon, someone who cheats on my taxes, somebody who cheats out poor people from Trump University, con man, blowhard. It's all good press. Well, Donald, it's not all good press, but you're delusional. And so he's kicked out his campaign staff. And I got to tell you, the race was getting boring. It's going to be fun now. Let me go to Felicia in Santa Fe. Hey, Felicia, how are you?
I love when you get just poetic in all of this, you know, riff. And what I wanted to refer you
if General Hospital soap opera is poetic, I'm not quite sure of the poetry in that, but go ahead.
No, you're good. But we know that this election has been controlled by corporate media, which created Trump, of course. And I thought of a book that can help Americans learn to think outside of the box. It's called In the Absence of the Sacred, by gerrymander. And it is a wonderful process of learning to think outside of the corporate media box. And at the end, he also has a part of the book that's devoted to Native Americans. Now, I am one, mm-hmm. and I'm calling because I know that you have the best of intentions, but I really would ask you to not use the phrase off the reservation.
Oh, hey, fair point. I never thought. Did I say that today? Because I don't even remember saying it. But I believe you. If you tell me I said
it. You said it multiple times.
All right.
When, you know, to express. And if you said off the concentration camp.
Yeah. No. I will try not to say that phrase. I'll tell you something. When I was a little kid, I used to use the word gypped. He gypped me. He cheated me. Until someone Uh-oh. Explained to me that that comes from gypsies, which I didn't know. And I never, ever say that anymore. So I will do my best never to say off the reservation. I have to tell you, I have never to this day, and I can always learn new things, even at my advanced age, I have never to this day thought of that phrase in any way connected to Native Americans. So you taught me something today, Felice. And I'm going to do my
wow.
utmost never to say that phrase again. So thank you for calling
thank
me out.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate
Carry
it. No,
on,
listen, you're correcting me, and quite rightly. So thank you for doing that. Let me go on to Nick in Humboldt County on line 3. Hey, Nick, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Mark, and I hope things are well with you today.
They are.
You were saying that you think, you know, in the long run, Donald Trump might come out of this smelling pretty good because he'll end up with a reality show or something.
Right, right. You got to remember his goals are not to be president. His goals are to make money and to really, even more than money, Donald Trump cares about attention. He craves attention. And so for him, he's getting all the attention in the world. For him, on his terms, this will be a success even when he loses in a landslide. I don't want, when I say a success, I'll be clear, I'm talking about on his own terms.
Okay. But here's the deal. I personally think that this is going to have people really, really start looking at him, especially when he loses and the way he's going to lose. Because he's going to get kicked around the block by Hillary because he has to sit there and take it during the debate.
Yeah, the debates are going to be fascinating. I almost wonder if he'll show up. I still think he will, but part of me wonders if at the last minute he might just like quit. You know, which would be, again, great for ratings. You know, the best reality show. The guy quits in the middle of the debate. That's the kind of thing you only see on, you know, House of Cards or whatever. I think he's going to. But part of the problem with Donald Trump is he is delusional enough to think he's doing well even when he isn't. So he may not realize when he messes up the debates. The other thing I expect him to do, particularly with his newfound help of Steve Bannon and Kellyanne, is I expect him to really go after the jugular. Expect him to accuse Hillary of helping Bill Clinton with one of those women. I really think it's going to get even uglier, and that'll be a fascinating thing to watch.
Yeah, but I think Hillary's thick skin enough, she can handle it.
Oh, I think she'll do fine. Nick, stay on with me if you want. I didn't give you a chance to fully finish. We have to go to a break, but stick on. We got other people who want to join the conversation. Just give us a call. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. This is Mark Levine. What do you think of Donald Trump doing it his way? We'll be right back right after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about Donald Trump doing it his way. Doesn't make sense in a political campaign, but does make sense in a reality show. And that just makes sense to me. Nick in Humboldt County, didn't let you finish, and I want to give you a chance to finish what you were saying.
Okay, yeah, well, you're correct on that, but I think in the long run it's going to really cause him problems. But I just wanted to leave you with one quote by William F. Buckley.
Okay.
He actually went to lunch with him back in the late 80s. And there's one sentence that really struck me. You guys can look this up.
William I believe
F.
you. Go ahead.
On Donald Trump. Okay, this is the sentence. When he looks at a glass, he is mesmerized by its reflection. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, well, as a narcissistic personality disorder, that makes perfect sense to me. Hey, Nick, thanks
all
for
right,
calling
well,
you in. You're a new caller, right? You haven't called in before.
Oh, a couple times.
Couple times. All right, okay. We always welcome new callers. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We also welcome people who call in a lot, people like Reggie from Georgia. Hey, Reggie, on line two, how are you?
How you doing, Mark? Happy hump day to you.
Happy Wednesday.
Yeah, well, this Steve Bannon, I just said that to Andrew several minutes ago, does this guy Steve Bannon have any political experience at all? That'd be like you trying to be a doctor and you're not.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You wouldn't want me operating on you, folks. No, I mean, what's interesting is this is a guy who connected with Andrew Breitbart, who was this really radical, extreme conservative internet flamethrower.
Right.
Who died and Bannon took over his place. But even Breitbart had concerns about how sort of wacko Bannon was. This is a guy who is just used to making up stuff and flamethrowing, and he's perfect for Donald Trump. They're perfect for each other. They really belong together.
Yeah, but won't he get called out for this stuff? Doesn't he ever get caught up for making up lies and all this stuff?
Well, Trump would tell you that the biased media is biased toward truth instead of towards Trump.
Right.
And how dare they say that 2 + 2 = 4? Trump says it's 5. And damn it, his followers believe it's 5. And if he changes his mind the next day and says it's 6, it was never 5. Trump never said 5. It's always been 6.
These guys must be smoking crack and pot at the same time.
You know, Reggie, war is slavery. Ignorance is strength. And war is peace. Excuse me. War is peace.
Yeah.
Oh, God, 1984. What is it? War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength.
Yes.
So there you go. Big Brother loves you. Big Brother really loves you, Reggie.
Yes, but, but this guy, like I said, he's not qualified to do political stuff.
No, but he's a great bully. He beats up people really well. He's really good at making up really extreme lies. He should be really entertaining. I told you, by a political standard, it makes no sense. But by a reality show standard, this is the guy. You know, you're watching the Jerry Springer show, and it starts to get boring, and then a guy comes in and bashes a chair over someone else's head? That's this guy. It's going to be really exciting.
Right, but what if has he ever gone up against people who could fight back, you know, the old school adage, why don't you pick on somebody your own size, right?
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? Look, Hillary Clinton, we all know, walks rings around, frankly, ordinary politicians in terms of policy knowledge. And I mean, she knows everything. She's brilliant, and she also has a real fine eye for detail.
Right.
Everyone knows that Donald Trump couldn't fight her fairly in a debate match.
Right.
But now he's going to kick her somewhere. He's going to punch behind her back. He's going to pull her hair. That's not what Hillary Clinton's used to in a debate. And he's going to see if he can throw her off. If you can't beat someone in a fair fight, what do? You surprise them in a dark alley, you know, and knock them over the head. That's how you handle someone who's bigger and better. Well, Hillary Clinton in this case is bigger and better than Donald Trump politically. So he can't beat her in a fair fight. All he has is an unfair fight, and that's what he's going to try. It's not going to work, but it's his best shot. And when he goes down looking like the lunatic that he is, Donald Trump, you see, it'll destroy the Republican Party, but Donald Trump will come out just the way he wants, more popular than ever. Remember, even if only 35% of America votes for him, that's tens of millions of people who will buy his next book and go to his next casino and watch his next show. That's a huge ratings. That's far better than anybody on TV. Donald Trump comes out like a winner. He'll become, you know, our new Tea Party doesn't even do it justice, our new right-wing fringe conspiracy party. And now all the people that think that Barack Obama was born in Kenya or Hillary Clinton, you know, killed somebody, they'll have a place to go. Now, it'll wreck the Republican Party. But for Donald Trump, I think he's going to come out really well from this.
Right. Or if not, have his boys beat her up for him.
And, well, right. I mean, they're going to accuse her of everything. I mean, next thing you know, they're going to accuse Hillary Clinton of finding ways for Bill Clinton to cheat on her. You know, something like so absurd that some wacko will believe it.
Right.
But, look, obviously, I'm part enjoying it, but let me be fair. I mean, this is masking the real fear and terror I would feel if I actually thought he had a chance to get elected. And that's why I don't want anyone to be complacent. Just because I think and hope Hillary wins in a landslide, we can't sit back and say, oh, she's going to win, so I'm not going to vote today. Because if we do that, this maniac, this unhinged, you know, wacko, narcissistic, authoritarian type could actually become president. So I don't in any way mean to be complacent. Plus, we need Hillary to win in a landslide for this reason. Because the House is so gerrymandered, because the Republicans have really rigged the system. You want a real rigging? They've rigged the system, legally rigged the system, in such a way she's got to win by 8 points just for the Democrats to have a chance at winning the House. And frankly, I think she has to win by 10 before we get it. So it's really important that she not just win, but win in a landslide.
Right, but I think that aren't they the exact same Republicans, the GOP, the radical right-wing Republicans who created this Frankenstein monster, which is now out of control, and they can't seem to stop them, you know?
Well, sure. I mean, it all starts, you can go back to, what's his name? The guy from South Carolina who, back in the 1990s, his name will come to me in a minute. But this has been a strategy of the Republican Party now for 20 years, to demonize the Democratic Party, to not fight fairly and say our tax policy is better than your tax policy. That's boring. It's the idea of accusing Hillary and Bill of murder and lock her up and, you know, crazy stuff like that, and you know, Barack Obama's born in Kenya. I mean, the irony is here Donald Trump insisted that Barack Obama provide his long-term birth certificate to prove he was born in Hawaii, and Donald Trump won't even turn on his tax returns. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But if you're looking for sense, you're not understanding what's truly going on.
And there's no proof, positive evidence of anything about the Clintons or the Obamas, for that matter, doing anything illegally or wrong.
No. Hey, thanks for your call, Reggie. I need to move on to some other people. Let me go on to Joe Smith in Santa Fe. Hey, Joe, how are you? Line one.
I just want to say, just like with everybody else, I just could not have more disgust and more contempt for Donald Trump. It's like, but the point I want to make is I don't think he really wants to be president. I think he is scared if he became president, but he's too selfish to be president. He doesn't have any sense of the other, of other people, and so he wouldn't want to be president because he wouldn't be able to do his thing all the time. He just wants, as everybody knows, he just wants the attention.
I agree with you, Joe.
Is getting totally landslided by Hillary. I hope he gets just humiliated, and whether or not he makes money in the long run, I hope he, and I take it sort of personally because he's so detestable, but I just hope he has to endure a really deep narcissistic injury that maybe, will wake him up.
I got to tell you, Joe, with all due respect, I don't think he's wake-up-able. And I don't think anything will harm his ego. If and when he loses in a landslide, it's because the media is corrupt. It's because the system is corrupt. It's because the voters are rigged. He even said that he wouldn't forgive the people of Connecticut if they vote against him. Well, sorry, Donald. The people of Connecticut are going to vote against you in a landslide. This guy is impervious to logic or truth. The reason why Donald Trump has to be defeated in a landslide has nothing to do with Donald Trump or him waking up and seeing truth. That's never going to happen. We shouldn't wait for it to happen. The reason why he has to be defeated in a landslide has to do with us, has to do with Americans, has to do with who we are as a country. Because if he's not defeated in a landslide, even if he gets close, that says something about America that I don't want to see. Thanks for your call, Joe. Let's go to Mary in Albuquerque. Hey, line three. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Hey, you know, and I'll tell you, he scares me. What's all this spit about with the Russians, for one thing? And his daughter is on vacation in Europe with Putin's girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't know about Putin's girlfriend. I know she's on vacation in Europe. I do know this. I know that Donald Trump has taken some very surprising positions with regard to Russia. Some say it's because he does a lot of business with Russia. We don't know because we can't see his tax returns, the extent. But a number of American banks won't lend him any money. They won't lend him any money because he tends to take the money and run. He tends to cheat people and not pay people who he hires.
Yeah.
So Americans don't hire him. So Russians do. And then if you note what he said, he's very consistent. He says that he's going to keep Russia out of Ukraine, not knowing that they're already in Crimea. And he wants to actually reduce troops that would fight Russia. If anything, he's Putin's guy. And Putin's trying to install him in the White House.
But here's another thing. I mean, even if he, or even Hillary Clinton, what the damage that has been done to this country, and I know whereof I speak. I worked at the Commerce Department in the trade promotion part.
Yeah.
I probably did 50 trade shows overseas. And then, you know, Reagan, well, he fought the unions. He put in the 401K. That destroyed defined benefit pensions. A lot of the things, you know, but it took a while even for these awful things that happened during the Reagan administration to come to the full court press that we're in right now, and it will take time to try. You know, people believe if they think we need a change. I've talked to some young people. Oh, they want to go for Trump because they think, you know, they don't want Washington insiders.
You know, I don't even get that.
People really believe things are going to change overnight. It will take time.
Someone, Mary, is going to have to explain to me how when a good, hardworking person like Hillary Rodham, who grew up in Illinois and was an activist in college and law school and then went to Arkansas and then went to New York, how she's a creature of Washington. And I live in a suburb of Washington, D.C., and here we don't see Washington as pejorative. We see it as the city across the river. These are still people. And if there's anyone who's fighting hard for her country every day, it's Hillary Rodham Clinton. So please don't define everyone by their proximity to Washington as somehow they're a bad person. Donald Trump has been cheating people his entire life, and he may never have set foot. Well, I'm sure he has, but not often in Washington, D.C. So I just think that's a really weird way to call names.
I guess I was bad, too. I worked there.
I hear you, Mary. I got to take a break, and I got to get some other my other callers.
With those shows.
Thank you. Let me take a break. Ask others to call in at 888-488-MARK. 888-488-6275. We're going to get to Ellen in New Mexico and Julian in California right after this.
And now, he's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left. Still got time, though, for a couple more calls. We got Ellen in Albuquerque, New Mexico, line 4. Hey, Ellen, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks. Hey, I wanted to comment basically on Donald Trump. My take on him is that he's full of himself.
And he's very full of himself, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, and he doesn't play nice. He doesn't know how to play nice. And
no, he's that bully you knew when you were 10 years old, and he never grew up.
That's it. You know, and also, you know, you're right, he doesn't want to become president, and I think he should, you know, like, he's out for attention, and he's just feeding his ego every single day. His ego is bigger than the state of Texas.
It's big, but I'll tell you know, it's really taken a few hits. He's used to using extreme things and winning just by insulting and bullying people. And Republicans like that bullying. We did a show on Monday. You can still find it on my website, marklevinetalk.com, who are the Trumpists. And they love this big daddy bully, this strong man approach where the king is the one who, you know, attacks everybody else. They have this image, this hierarchical image. But that may be true in the Republican Party or to a plurality of the Republican Party. It ain't true at America writ large. It isn't true for Democrats or independents. And that's why his ego is getting some deflating to the extent that's possible. I'm sure he's unhappy about his polls, which is why he's fired his campaign manager and, you know, is starting over again. Thanks for your call, Ellen. I want to get to one last call. It's Julian in California on line two. Hey, Julian, how are you?
Hey, Mark. Doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
We're here in, we're big fans of yours. We're normally in Alexandria. We love you. But we're here in California helping Colonel Doug Applegate kick Daryl Issa's behind California 49th.
Good. I'll tell you, that's a tough race.
This is what I wanted to ask you.
But if we can get rid of Daryl Issa, that would be make a major difference in, you know, what kind of things are looked at in Congress. So good luck to you out there.
Yeah. Now, this is what I wanted to ask you. It's about Donald Trump crying out that if he loses the election, it's because it's rigged.
Yeah.
Now, you're probably too young. You probably weren't born. But I remember Muhammad Ali knocking out Sonny Liston and Sonny Liston failing to come out for the seventh, and then in the next match, he lay down at the end of the first and crying out, "We was robbed."
Oh.
I mean, here we are. It looks like Trump is getting knocked down by Hillary, knocked all over the ring, and now he looks like Don Palooka.
You know what he reminds me of?
That?
He reminds me of, there was always a kid in school. Don't you remember? I like to play games. I admit it. I'm a competitive person. I like to win as much as the next guy. But there's always that one kid who you played a game and you won and you won fairly. And he's like, "You cheated." And he knocks over the board. Right. There's always that one kid who's so listen, sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. When I lose, I grin and bear it and say, "Hey, you know, good game. You played it well." There's always that one sore loser who so can't handle losing that, "Oh, well, you cheated. Oh, the game's rigged. Oh, well, if I lose, it's because the game rigged." Or fascinating psychology. When I heard Donald Trump say the other day to voters in Connecticut, which is a very blue state, "If you don't vote for me, what do you say? I'm going to take it personally. I'm going to be upset with you." Like people should vote not based on who's the best president, but because we fear that Donald Trump won't be happy with us if we don't vote for him. What kind of narcissistic weirdness is it? "If you don't vote for me, I'm not going to be your friend." That makes sense in the schoolyard in fifth grade. But Donald, dear, I don't want you as my friend, and I don't like to play games with people who accuse me of cheating all the time, and maybe you need a little time out and just to sit in your sandbox, your golden sandbox, and sit and cry for a little while and sit down, and maybe you'll learn a little bit about fair play. Now, that's what I might say to Donald if he, you know, if I were his teacher, but I'm afraid once you get to be 70 years old, by the way, Donald Trump is the oldest candidate ever to run for president of the United States. Did you know that? Ronald Reagan, he's older than Ronald Reagan was when he first became president, oldest to ever run for the first time. So at age 70, I just don't think he's going to change. And that to me is what this shakeup was all about, to bring it home. This is a guy who could not change, frankly, chafed at the strictures around him, you know, "Oh, Donald, you have to be presidential. You got to stop insulting people. And hey, you need to read from the teleprompter. And oh, don't accuse people of impossible things like Obama founding a group that, you know, was founded long before he became president." They're telling him to be normal and to be rational. And he's like, "I don't want to be rational. I haven't come this way by being rational. I haven't come this way by telling the truth. The truth isn't fun. It's not exciting. You can't put the truth in a reality show. Who would watch a reality show where a competent president like Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama sat at their desk, signed papers, analyzed evidence, and decided on the right course of action? That is a boring reality show. It might be what we want as president. It's a boring reality show." Thanks for your call, Julian. Thanks for being my constituent in Alexandria, Virginia. Thank you to all of you who've been watching on Facebook. For those of you who don't know, we are now video casting the radio show on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/MarkLevineTalk. And if you miss it, we'll show it on Facebook and also on my website, marklevinetalk.com. We'll be back on Monday for more of the reality show that is Donald Trump, 3 p.m. Eastern Time.